Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go into a story on CNBC how the Restaurant Association is asking for another bailout. And the reason I think this is important is because it shows us some, or it gives us insight as to what may be the motivation behind a lot of these CEOs by these draconian restrictions that were given to them by the federal government. Because a lot of these, you say, well, why on earth would United or this airline, why would they do that when they know that it's going to reduce the amount of their of customers, and it's just going to create chaos, and it's going to create animosity with their staff? And you know, why? It doesn't make any sense. Well, if you look at it through this lens, it starts to make all the sense in the world. So let's go over to this story. National Restaurant Association asks Congress for more grant money as Scariant hits industry. So the key talking points, the National Restaurant Association basically asked for more stimmy checks, or PPP. Trade Group's latest survey, operators found that 88% of restaurants indoor dining demand wane. I like how they say it's always because of the Scariant. Always, everything's always because of the Scariant. Not really. It's probably going down because people aren't getting the stimmy checks. People are actually having to pay rent now. People are having to pay their mortgage. People are getting less in the child tax credit, which really wasn't a child tax credit. It was another form of stimmy check. But all these things are kind of going by the wayside. And so that means people's purchasing power goes down. That means they go out less. I don't think a lot of it was due to the Scariant. What ends up happening is places like New York, where I believe CNBC is, they just look at what happens around them and they assume that's happening everywhere in the United States. So like you look at this picture, which by the way, can you even fathom a more dystopian picture than what you're looking at here? So, and just if you're not following what this is, look at this. This is in New York City. So people dine at an outdoor dining patio set up at a restaurant March 18, 2020. So not only do you have to show your papers and your yellow star in New York, but you also, when you're sitting outside on the sidewalk, you're in this cubicle of plywood. With this like bizarre blue type of office light. I mean, and not only that, but this gal, of course, has her mask on as well. And then you've got all this wonderful graffiti that's just plastered on this plywood. I mean, this is what New York City is. And of course, just to be politically correct, they got to put like a wheelchair access thing here too in plywood. Oh, geez, you just can't make this up. Can you? You just cannot make this up. And if you're really a hypochondriac, you can shut this door and isolate and eat inside some little plywood cubicle as if you're eating inside of like a bathroom stall in the airport or something like that. I mean, just this looks like a lot of fun, doesn't it, Josh? Like this looks like a fantastic time. Like Saturday night, let's just go try to find some plywood and build little cubicles and just go down to the homeless area in Phoenix, which is pretty much all of Phoenix now. And my goodness gracious. But my point is, if you saw everyone around you being this freaked out over the Cerveza sickness, you would assume that like, well, this is everyone. And therefore, how could this not affect people's willingness to go out to restaurants? And then you get on a plane and you go down to Florida, to Naples. And you're like, it's like a time warp. It's like getting in a DeLorean and going back to 2019. And then you say, well, wait a minute. Maybe we're the ones that are crazy. Maybe it's just this small group in New York City or in Los Angeles or San Francisco or in Portland, Oregon, that's taking it to this extreme. And then you would think the next step would be to look online and look at the data as far as the Cerveza sickness cases. And to compare that with areas in Florida and say, okay, well, is there a difference? Are our metrics far better than Florida? And then you'd see, no, they're not. And then any rational person would come to the conclusion that all of this is a ruse. This is all nonsense. This is all just theatrics. This doesn't do anything other than make you feel good for your imagined paranoia. That's all this does. And I'm not talking about just building these stupid little plywood cubicles. I'm also talking about the masks, the mandates, the passports, the medicine mandates, you name it. This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for. So last year, lawmakers created $28 billion fund to aid bars, restaurants struggling in the wake of the Cervasa sickness. Grants were designed to make up for restaurants' full losses, up to $5 million, single location, $10 million. And so, you know, okay, listen, if the government's going to force a business to shut down, I mean, I hate government intervention, but at least I see some sort of rationale here. What would have been better is if the government just never forced anyone to shut down and then just let the market decide who is going to stay in business, who isn't. And by the way, I mean, I'm a big fan of restaurants and bars and all establishments, but let's be honest, the chances are that we had way too many of them. And the reason I'm saying that is because the price of money has been pretty much zero for 12 years. So if the price of money means the hurdle rate is very, very low to borrow money, then you're going to have an excess of supply. And therefore, I think the equilibrium point for the amount of restaurants we have per person is probably lower than what it was in 2019. Very similar to what we saw with retail, physical location, retail space, like malls and whatnot. So, but the point that I really want to hit home here is this National Restaurant Association saying that, yes, business is down. Therefore, what's the first thing they do? They go right back to the government. So this gives the government a tremendous amount of leverage in the future because they know that these policies, all in the name of safety and health, of course, have created this environment where every 2 years or every so often, all of these businesses have to keep running back for more handouts. So in the interim, what you can do as the government is this gives you a massive amount of power and control, because whatever policies you want the businesses to implement, you know that they're going to do that because eventually they believe there's a high probability that they have to come back to the government, tail between their legs, with their hands out saying, give me more money, give me more money, give me more money. So I think this explains why we have seen such irrational behavior, or maybe it was rational, we just didn't have all the facts, but what would seem on the surface to be irrational behavior from all of these CEOs, business owners, et cetera. I think the big question now becomes, you know, how does this play out? The government is very unlikely to give them more money in the face of inflation, because the politicians' number one priority is getting reelected. They know that inflation, CPI going up, is political kryptonite. So if they don't get these handouts, what happens to all those businesses? A lot of them go bust. That means a lot of the job openings decline, while at the same time, asset prices decline, taking us from a labor shortage. In my opinion, we could see a labor surplus. So you have a labor surplus while jobs are going down, and that could be a significant disinflationary pressure to this inflation that we've seen. Definitely, I think my base case going into the summer is for the CPI to kind of plateau, if not come down a little bit. Now, that doesn't mean that prices are going down. It just means they're going up at a slower rate. But then if the Fed continues to increase interest rates, take quantitative easing down to zero, and actually does implement quantitative tightening, I think that puts a lot of downward pressure on asset prices, which could take the economy into another recession. On that note, I'll probably do a video on this a little later on. I want to go to a recent blog post from Jeff Snyder at Alhambra, one of our favorites. And he points out that as of January 14th, euro dollar future curve still inverted. More on that in the next video. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure that you're always standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism.